Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to another special bonus edition of the Paul Ryder Tapes. I'm Angela Smith, I'm the ex-wife of Paul Ryder, who sat down with me in the months leading up to his untimely death to spill the beans, tell his life story and correct some of the myths. Oh my goodness, it is another fan favourite for you this week. The second bonus edition that we have from the absolute stars of the series. They've changed members of the Monday's nappies. They've waited up and worried about them when they've been out late. They've been there to wipe their tears when they fell. They've been their biggest cheerleaders. And up until this series, they've kept mum, metaphorically and physically, keeping the secrets and letting the untruths slide. Until now. It is, of course, Paul and Sean's mum, Linda, and Gaz Whelan's mum, Sandra, affectionately now known as the Rock and Roll Mums. Just chat about what it was like to have young children in the 60s and how it's different to nowadays. What was it like?
Oh, is it different?
It might be on another planet, isn't it?
The pressures, and I've just been going through this with Phil. And you probably, the pressures of young children at school, all because of the government and targets, targets, targets. What happened to children learning at their own pace, like we did when I was teaching in the 60s? You don't move on with that child till they've got it. So you've got different levels in your class. Not anymore.
So when your boys were at primary school, what were they like? Did they cope well with the academic side of things?
Gary, when he went to the high school, that was the end of the story, really.
Well, but I think they all changed.
So
all
much,
lads
don't
do
they?
When they
and,
go to high school.
And they
school.
Were just interested in music, weren't they, and that. But in the junior school, yeah, mine was so happy. It was a little old village school. You know, in Wardley,
yeah,
eh? Before they built all the houses and that, you know, All Saints. I mean, even chickens were running around in the classroom with them. But the teachers were fantastic. And when they used to do the 11 plus, of course, then, you could guarantee that half of the top class was definitely. No problem.
Well, Paul was borderline. And had we not have lived in Salford, he would have been classed as passing the 11 plus. But because we lived in Salford, he didn't get it. He was borderline.
It was quite high.
He could have sat it again, but he didn't want to because he wanted to go where all his friends were
going.
Yeah,
that was another thing, you see. They did, a lot of them, didn't they? Mm. If my friends aren't going, I'm not going there. So they deliberately not do well in their 11 plus.
Did they go to primary school quite happily?
Well, of course mine did, because they were with me.
How did they feel going to school and their mum working in the school where they were going to?
It didn't really bother them because I didn't bother with them. They call me Mrs. Ryder. they even called me Mrs. Ryder when we got home. But the funny thing was, you see, Sean was school age, but Paul wasn't. And my mum was going to look after him after I'd convinced Eric it would do me good going back to work.
Yeah.
What have you? I mean, in all honesty, we didn't really need the money because Derek worked on the newspapers and he was earning a colossal amount of money. But he was bored to tears and hated it because he trained as an aircraft engineer and he's a creative person. That's why I stayed at home to look after the children. And then I got bored. We lived in quite a way out then, in a new house. And I finished up looking after everybody else's kids because I didn't let them wander about the road and what have you. And that was when I decided, yes, I might as well go back. Because and although I was with children, I was with adults as well. So my mum was looking after Paul for me, and Sean was just starting school in the September, and he'd not been started long when my mum got ill and couldn't have them, and I had to tell the head teacher I was really sorry but I would have to give me notice in. And she said, well, thank goodness, I thought he was going to tell me he was pregnant. She said no, because it was still the time where there was a shortage of teachers because of them extending the teacher training year. So she said, you're just going to have to bring Paul with you, and we won't put him on the register. So the pair of them was holding hands at the door when it got to dinner time, and I said, are you going to go out and play now with the children? No, we're coming with you. I said, no, you can't come with me. I've got to go where the grown-ups go. Well, we'll wait here for you. I'll never forget, they stood in a tile outside the classroom door holding hands. And by the time I got back, they were still stood there holding hands.
Oh, that's sweet. What was it like in the 70s when you had teenagers?
When they were growing up, Gary, oh God, yeah, he was really a worry, you see. He had this thing in his mind that was going to be a footballer. He had that accident, he couldn't be it. But then his next thing was music, of course, and he was younger than the other lads. So he got in with them, didn't he? So he forgot about school, and he'd always been very bright, you know, but he didn't want to learn anything at school because he wanted to be, like, a mad musician, you know. So he lost a lot of his school. I don't think he got one O-level, but in the end we give up because he was happy, and he was happy with the band. And, yeah, he was a worry because sometimes he won't come home. And not we didn't have mobile phones or anything then, did they?
No, so I mean, I used to lie in bed awake, waiting for him to come in.
Oh, yeah.
Until
I
heard the door. Yeah. And then fall asleep.
Oh, yes.
It was a worry. But believe you me, I thought we had it bad.
Mm.
But I'm glad it was then and not now.
I am. It's terrible now. Terrifying.
When you think the way they spike drinks
There was none of that then. And I tell you what, when we were teenagers compared to them, it's gone worse now.
Oh, God, but we had ankle socks at 16.
I mean, we went out and, okay, you know, I mean, Ken was a teddy boy, obviously.
So was Derek.
So was Derek, yeah.
We had the coffee bars, but
exactly.
It wasn't drinking.
No, it wasn't. There was teddy bear, well, some of them will have thought we were teddy bears. Teddy boy fights, of course, yeah. Loads of fights. But you know what? It was one against one, and it was fists. It wasn't knives or anything. And usually there was a reason why them two were fighting, usually over a girl.
Over a girl.
Yeah. and they'd have a fight. It wouldn't be that you were walking down the road and these lads thought...
And a gang had set on
you. Yeah, don't like the look of him, or we could pinch his money. And they go and they batter him, well, knife him now, don't they even... None of that. There was none of that. I think the 60s was the best time ever to grow up, don't you?
Definitely.
And now, you know, 50s, I'm saying 50s as well, obviously.
I mean, with the fashion, the clothes, young lads didn't dress like the dad.
I used to go out at night and I met Ken when I was like 15 or so at school, well, just before I finished school, anyhow. And we used to go to this place on Regent Road for rock and roll. It was called the Academy. I was brought up right near the docks. You know, so people go, oh, and all the brothels. We used to go in these pubs when they let you out, and you used to have a pass to come out of the dance hall to get in the pubs for a drink. Didn't really drink, perhaps had one drink and you'd have one pint. And we were like 15, 16 at the time. And all the sailors were in there with the prostitutes, right? I mean, my mum and dad nearly died when they found out. But you were so safe because you went in there, the sailors and that, they were interested in us because there's loads of prostitutes, you know. But then they'd start a fight, oh, God. And the stools, not the teddy boys, the prostitutes were the sailors, and the stools would go across the room and they'd be fighting and... Oh, I'd go home at night, my mum would say, oh, I've just heard there's been a terrible fight on Regent Road again. You don't go in now, our Sandra, you don't go in then. But I said, oh, no.
Oh, telling lies to your mother.
Yeah, well, I had to, in the middle of it, but we were dead
didn't
safe.
Didn't you get red in the face?
No, did you? I was already red in the face. My cherry bees, all them cherry bees. You know, I couldn't drink more than one of them.
I never had a drink in my life till I was old.
Give over.
No, honestly,
she'll blame me for this somewhere.
No, I didn't. The first time.
Joking, what did you do? What sort of life did you have?
Well, probably a very sheltered one because don't forget. I know. We moved to what was in the middle of nowhere when I was 9 years old. I was a country bumpkin.
Well, and something changed.
When we moved to Little Houghton and I went to school at Little Houghton, I hated it. We lived in the inner city.
Yeah, yeah.
We had proper toilets with flush and chains. The toilet.
Well, your house was in the backyard, but it had a flush.
But they didn't there. They were outside, and there was a big trough with a big wooden seat all the way along and a hole in the middle.
Terrible.
And at the end one had a chain. And twice a day, Mr. Connolly, the caretaker, I'd flushed the chain, then a cart had come round and it'd shovel everything out in the cart. Now, that's how...
Horrible.
That's how backward we were. Mm. They were still wearing clogs and shawls. Mm.
Terrible.
Mm. Mother made me stick it out. So, as I got to going out, I mean, the only place I could go to was church youth club.
You see, you could have come on the bus with me at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I'd have been led astray a lot sooner then, wouldn't I?
You'd have learnt on that bus.
So the only place I could go, I mean, I've led a really sheltered life.
I know, and yet you're not sheltered now, are you?
Well, I bet you.
I educated her.
It got to the stage where we could go to the YCW, the Young Christian Workers.
Oh, was it boring that though? We tried it.
Yeah, but then,
Linda.
A couple of times, I was a bit of a naughty girl.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, tell me.
I got on. But by the time I got there, and when everything was getting going, it was time for me to come home so I could be in. And a couple of times I did go with one of my friends who was a bit way out.
Normal.
I did go to the Bodega Club.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember Boots was on the corner?
Yeah.
Just as you're going Indian Skate.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And round the side. Lonnie Donegan and Chris Barber was in the band playing. Yeah. It was like a jazz club.
Yeah.
But then I stopped going because I got into more Elvis and rock and roll and what have you.
Yeah. Were you strict with Paul and Sean about what time they had to come home?
Well, they didn't really go out that much in school days. It was after they'd left school.
And just to set the record straight, contrary to what you may have heard in some interviews, Sean was 15 when he left school and about to be 16, and Paul was 16.
And, of course, I knew they were going to the Hacienda and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
And so long as I knew where they were, and, oh, Sean was terrible. He used to drive. Every 2 minutes he'd be on the phone giving me a running commentary. And I always had this phobia about if they were a minute late, I'd go into panic mode. Paul was terrible. As he got to be older, and he'd not let me know he wasn't coming home. And we had terrible words with him, and Derek did. And I used to say, do you realise what you put us through when you don't come home?
Mm.
You could be in a building, in a fire, because of that Top Story Club in Bolton. Yeah. Do you remember that got burned down and they were jumping out of windows and they all got killed because the water wasn't deep enough? And I used to say to them, you could be dead in a fire and we'd never know what happened to you. And it took us ages to get across. Even so, more Sean than Paul. Yeah. He was.
Once, Manchester.
Then you'd lie awake in bed listening for the door coming.
Yes.
And then next morning.
Yeah.
They wouldn't. Yeah. It was hard to get them up.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
But it was nicer living then. It was
It was. It was much safer than it is now.
It was safer. It's evil now, isn't it?
Mm.
I wouldn't go out now, would you? I mean,
no.
You know how Sean and Paul ended up, like, Paul was definitely the quiet one and Sean was definitely the loud one. Was that the way it always was?
From the minute Sean was born, we knew he was here. We knew he was here. He never slept. He never stopped crying. And he never was never still. And when I come to... And he was being thoroughly ruined. They told me I shouldn't have any more children for at least 4 years. When Sean, now I know why, when Sean was born, I came out in this rash all over and they said it was shock.
Shock.
Yeah, it was...
Did you say he wasn't yours? Motherfucking baby.
They said it was shock. And they told me not to think of having any more children.
Really?
I was so traumatised for at least 4 years.
Really?
But
why was he a naughty baby?
No. I mean, I had feeding. He was 11 pound. Don't forget, 11 and a half pounds. So none of his clothes fit him when he was born. We had to cut a brand new baby in 90s with ragged sleeves where Derek could cut, and then he was being ruined because I still had two grannies. They were all fussing him and one put him down, and then I got rheumatic fever. So I had to go back to my mum's for 3 months.
Ah, right.
So he was being picked up and nursed all the time and played with and had all the attention. And I said to Derek, do you know what? This is getting ridiculous. The sooner we have another child, the better. And I literally used to pray to God, please let this baby sleep. And I think God must have listened to my prayers too much. Because Paul was just the opposite. He always slept and he was still the same, wasn't
he? Did you want a girl though, Linda? Because you got a boy.
No, I wasn't bothered.
Weren't you?
Wasn't bothered one little bit. And my mother kept... Oh, Derek's mother. She wanted a girl because she'd only had a lad. You've got to call her Mavis.
Don't like that name.
But Derek's mother worked at Truly Fair, where they made all these children's clothes for Lewis's and Kendall's and abroad.
Yeah.
And she used to buy them the most beautiful things. But the night, the winter she bought them tights, I really, the little leggies warm under the pants.
But that's a bit of a problem, isn't it?
Well, Paul looked like a girl. He really did. Nobody knew he was a boy.
Yeah, I can see that Paul...
Nobody knew he was a boy. Yeah. He looked like a girl. Yeah. Well, the clothes she bought Sean was all right. But she used to buy these little winter suits for Paul with little swan's down fur around.
She wanted a girl, didn't she?
All the clothes she bought him was all girly clothes.
Yeah.
And I couldn't put them in him unless she was coming.
I'd
and
have
of course,
all girls. Well, I wouldn't have minded one boy, but
I like little boys. My granny used to say to me, Linda, you've got two beautiful little boys. She said, but take some advice from me. I've had five lads. She said, and a son is only a son
till
he gets a wife.
Mm.
And then it depends exactly on the wife. And I can honestly say, thank God my Bill got your mother.
Yeah.
That's what my granny used to say.
Yeah. But a girl is yours for the rest of your life. And it's very
it's
old.
It's true, of
but
course
it is,
it's
it
true.
It is true, yeah. Mm.
Would you say that they became more extreme as they got older? Like Sean became louder and Paul became quieter? Or was it constant?
It was constant.
Yeah.
Always the same, but they were such good close pals for one another.
Yeah, it's a shame, that, really.
Yeah.
And then, when did that...
But then my mother used to say, right, I'm not having them both together again, because he wants what he's got and he wants what he's got. And then the arguing starts.
Well, how long is it between them?
20 months.
Oh, so
pretty almost close. 2 years.
Yeah.
So when do you think what do you think started the rivalry going on between them?
It was after the band started, really.
Were they all right at school,
Oh, well, they went out together when they'd left
right.
school. They were always together.
Right, yeah.
They were all, I always said it was when girls got involved.
Well, could be, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they always criticised each other's girlfriend.
Both of you were in a position where they'd left school and they started playing in a band. What did it feel like? Did you feel like it was just a phase they were going through? How did you feel about the fact that they were getting into music and forming a band?
Well, Derek loved it because we were a musical family.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a multi-instrumentalist. He can play anything he hears. And I was into piano and what have you. So we were Paul, I told you about the time Paul decided he wanted to play the bass. Sean asked for drums. Oh, my God. No way. Crash, bang, wallop. I think all the road knew about it.
What you could have done, what Gary did, I came home from work one day and... What was he doing? He went, I'm going to have to practice in my bedroom.
Oh, we stuffed them with carpets.
That's right. No, it was egg things. Egg cases. You know what you have your eggs in? All round everywhere. What the bloody hell have you done?
Well, soundproofing
his room. Well, he said it was soundproofing. Oh, I think I kicked him down.
Did it work?
I think it did to a certain extent because he had them up quite a while before they came down. Yeah, so perhaps it did work.
No,
I was just glad then
that Sean got fed up and decided.
Well,
he thinks he'll be a singer. I mean, really, Paul wanted to be a motor mechanic. Well, he got a very good O-level in motor mechanics and we just did not know what Sean was going to do.
tell me what you did to support the boys when they were in the early days of the band.
Provide food.
Food
sandwiches for every time they went on a gig.
Yeah.
Well, that was Bez telling everybody, Linda's corned beef butties kept us alive.
Oh, yeah. Was Bez with them then? Because it was at school that he...
No, but it
he was... He was an naughty boy at school, like Gary was as well. Not calling Bez, I love Bez. They had no time for school because of the band, did they?
No.
That's what it was really, Linda, wasn't it? They had no time for school because of that, yeah.
But you see, Paul was so quiet, he got away with murder. Paul was very sporty, like Gary.
See,
he was on the foot. Oh, gosh, I was never away from the hospital with him. Yeah. He must have broke more bones than the...
That's why he neglected his education, Gary. He thought he was going to be a famous footballer. Mm. But he did play for England schoolboys, you know, when he was, he was only 10.
Well, Paul played.
Because he had that bad accident. He was Paul excellent.
Paul played for Lancashire and Salford for rugby. We've got loads of cups and things that Paul won for rugby. Yeah. He was a great rugby player, but... I was always at the hospital with him. He was on first name terms.
I didn't know he played rugby.
Mm. He was a very good rugby player. Yeah. Mm. And then when he left school, everything stopped. It was so... And then he turned into this blooming tortoise.
Gary was 11 and he went to Switzerland to play football. And he'd never been away from home before. And we never... Well, yeah, I worried, but he didn't. It was like he didn't know the lads or anything. Mm. And he was 11 and going to Switzerland to play football. And, oh, God, I couldn't sleep every night. And there was no mobile phones like now. You can ring them all the time. And I was demented. And my mum went, what, you letting him do it? I said, but he really wants to do it. He thinks it's the highlight of his life. And then he come home and he had the accident. So that was the end of that. Anyhow.
What was the accident, Sandra? What was the accident?
Well... climbing a tree like he did, he was a fool, so I was on top of trees and I was swinging off it like a bloody monkey, really. He was just down, and he broke the but it was mad, it was shattered his arm and his shoulder, and they were going to amputate at one time, it was that bad, really.
And yet he managed to play the drums like he did.
He was due to start the high school in September, and this happened in the August, after he'd come back from Switzerland, honestly. And we rang an ambulance, but somebody went, get him in the car, you'll get there quicker. Would have done now, we probably wouldn't then, but we got there. Anyhow, and it was just that this special surgeon, Mr. Green, I'll never forget him, he was in Salford Royal when it was open then, you know, the proper Salford Royal. And he said, I'm just visiting somebody, they've asked me to come in and have a look. He said, I think I can save his arm, and he did. But he was in hospital about a fortnight, and his best friend was, you're not going to believe this, this bloke in this bed facing him that was in traction with it, and he had a bloody police warden with him, and he had his hands on in handcuffs. Now, he couldn't have gone anywhere anyhow because his legs were in traction. You know what I mean? He was his best friend. He is nice. I said, nice? He's from bloody strange ways. What's to do? Oh, he is nice, so Mum. But he couldn't have escaped, but they had him in handcuffs. After he came out of hospital, he was going for physio and different things for quite a few weeks. And we came out of Salford Royal and we were at the bus stop waiting for a bus to go back to Wardley. And there was this woman in the queue and she said, oh, have you been to the hospital? I said, oh, yeah. She said, oh, it looks like he's had a bad day. So I was telling her all about it anyhow. And she said to me, he'll be all right, him, you know, she said. I said, well, he wants to be a footballer, I said, but I don't know now, you know, he's lost a lot of confidence. And she went, he won't be a footballer. I thought, fancy telling me that, and him, well, he's stuck there. And he was only 11, as I say, and she said to me, Liverpool's going to be very involved in what he's going to do. She said, well, I'm going to tell you what, now he's going to be in a band and they're going to be very popular. Mm. I said, him in a band? I said, he couldn't move his arm. She went, I'm telling you. And I always remember that. That was a woman at a bus stop. And I've never forgot that. And now there's Gary.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then he started drumming lessons, and what happened? The band had started to form.
Yeah. So that's when they said, we'll go and see him.
Yeah, and he went to that practice, didn't he?
Yeah,
he was only about 13,
in the
14.
School at yeah, All school, Saints. Yeah.
And they liked him and he liked them, and that was it. Mm. Yeah.
How did you feel as mothers when the band started to take off and become successful?
Well, I remember when they were on the MEN. This all sticks in my mind, really. And we were going to the concert and we were going to stay backstage upstairs, weren't we, anyhow? And I mean, it must have been a bit thick. I've never had myself down as thick in that way. But anyhow, we were going, and we were on Chapel Street, and the traffic jam.
Oh, I did. What's going on here?
The traffic jam, it was terrible, and we couldn't move. And
we were stuck in this traffic jam. These were out on horses. Yeah, crowds were that bad.
You know, there's somebody really famous on the MEN.
That's exactly.
And Ken said to me, are you putty or what? Why? And that's where the lads are. Right?
I know.
Never. And that's when it dawned on me then that, it made it.
Yeah, and I was absolutely gobsmacked. Yeah. And I was on my own, and I was told to go to such a door and knock on the door. And all these people started following me to this door, and I was swamped by a crowd, and it was quite frightening, really. Yeah. And I knocked on this...
Was she on your own, did you?
Yeah, because Derek was already there.
Yeah, of course he was, but why didn't you come with us then?
I don't know.
No?
And I'd knocked on this door, and all these crowds were surrounding me, and somebody said, that's his mother. That's the mother. And I was quite frightened, actually.
Yeah.
And the man on the other side of the door said, oh, you'll have to wait there while I check up on you, love. And... he went to get somebody else, and somebody else came, and they opened the door and literally grabbed me in.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's something out of another world.
What did you think of the first album? Do you remember when Squirrel and G-Man came? What did you think of those songs?
Different. Wonderful.
Yeah, I liked them, yeah.
Because I knew they never really wanted to be poppy. They never wanted to be pop stars. And I knew they didn't do pop songs. It was just a sheer fluke that they got into the main chart. I mean, I used to watch the indie charts, watch it go up and up and up to the number... the number one on the indie charts, but nothing in the ordinary charts... Mm. And then I realised then everything had changed when they actually got into the, normal charts? Pop charts.
Right. What did you think about when the press started writing about them?
Oh, it really upset me at first. And it was only through Derek saying, look... You're just going to have to live with this now.
Yeah.
Because any publicity is good publicity. Yeah.
So what upset you? What was written that upset you?
The things that they were saying about drugs.
Yeah, they were drugs.
And this,
they were all...
and the...
Paul's been very upfront about his own struggles with drugs, but really this came about much later in the trajectory of the Mondays, and it wasn't really a big problem until around the time of Yes Please. And another thing that needs correcting is something that I actually heard in a very recent interview. It intimated that Derek himself had a drug problem, which is absolute rubbish. Derek never had a drug problem whatsoever, and in fact he was extremely supportive of Paul when Paul had his drug problems. I just want to set the record straight there. And in the same interview, it was also said that instead of buying equipment for the boys, that Derek stole the equipment that the band used in the early days from various places that he worked. And that's absolute rubbish. In fact, Linda says in one of our early episodes about how she wasn't able to have fitted wardrobes because all of the spare money that they had went on buying equipment for the band. The equipment was not stolen. Anyone who's a regular listener to this series will know that Derek was absolutely crucial to the development of the band, and without Derek there definitely wouldn't be a Happy Mondays. It always really annoyed Paul when he heard interviews that were full of lies or read features and books that were full of lies. And one of the reasons that he wanted to make this series was to set the record straight.
Whatever they wrote in the press, that much.
Yeah.
There was that much truth in it.
Yeah, it was terrible. But we knew it was a load of crap, didn't we? And I think people that knew them knew it was a load of nonsense. Mm.
Do you think that the band and the management and the record label perpetuated that deliberately? Do you think it was, like, orchestrated to do that?
You know, I've often thought that.
Yeah,
That
they used to go on at them. You've got to have an image. Watch your image. And I think powers that be made that the image.
Yeah.
But also, what really annoyed me, the way they always blamed them for factory going under.
That was not the case at all. That was complete lies altogether.
That was complete lies.
Factory relied on them.
Mm.
Paul says that a couple of times. He said that when factory went bust, they actually owed the band £800,000.
That's right, they did.
Yeah.
And Derek said the same. You know, everything they do has got to blame somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And they blame the Mondays. Yeah. And anybody who knows, it's not true.
How did you feel as mothers when they were on Top of the Pops?
Oh!
Oh, marvellous, that one.
Wonderful. We had all the relations.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh, they've made it now. They've got on Top of the Pops.
Going to be millionaires.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, I wish.
And it was every time a record came out, and we listened to the midweek charts to see how far it had got. Then at midweek, it would be number one. And then when they all go out at weekend buying the records, it had gone right down again. Yeah. And you think,
When they had Step on That, I always remember that concert. Was that the MEN? I can't remember now, really. And Derek was stoned out of his head once. Do you remember?
No, he'd been drinking.
I don't mean drugs, I mean drinking. He was stoned out of his head because he was so relaxed.
That was Wembley.
Was that Wembley?
I'll never forget Wembley. I don't think I spoke to him for a month after that. Because even the riggers, he was flat out on that flight case.
I know he was.
Everybody had gone home. Even the riggers had pulled everything down.
I was still bloody shivering
in Wembley when you were all back.
We went back. Well, you should have come back with us, shouldn't you?
At the hotel.
We were with.
All drinking and...
Oh, didn't we have some fun?
Then, luckily, I didn't, because they were saying, phone the hotel, but I didn't know the dialing code or anything. Luckily, Ben, Now, do you remember Ben?
Oh, I do.
You was in love with Ben.
Oh, Ben was wonderful. Oh,
Ben came back for me.
Wasn't he lovely?
And took me.
Yeah, he was.
Took
yeah.
me back to the hotel. Yeah.
So where was Derek then?
Oh, he was with me.
Oh, he was unconscious.
But he wasn't a drinker, Derek. That's
no,
why he was
celebrating. He was so proud. Yeah. He worked so yeah. hard.
Yeah. Oh, he was flat out unconscious. Ben yeah. got him up to the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
What and I just sat in the bedroom. I was freezing. I didn't go downstairs to you. I rang for room service.
Yeah, but you should have done. You should have settled him in bed and then come down to us. He deserved that, to have a good drink.
I never spoke to him for a month.
Well,
after.
You know, well, because
we were supposed to be going home. He was coming home with me.
You weren't going home that night.
No, we weren't going home the next day. We couldn't. We were supposed to be going home the next day. We couldn't. And I had to ring school and say, look, you're going to have to make some excuse up for me because no way can we get back today. He's still unconscious.
And the rock and roll mums have got some really fond memories of Mark Day's late lovely mum, Marlene, and his dad on another trip to London.
Oh, it was hilarious.
It was hysterical from coming away from Piccadilly. We were hysterical till we got to London.
Because we'd not been on the train long when out came the sandwiches and the drinks.
Oh, I know.
And you sent to Marlene. I know. Oh, Marlene, how thoughtful of you.
I said, I'd organise you.
Oh, no, she said. Next door have gone away and I went to check the house and they forgot the drinks and they forgot the sandwiches. So I brought them for us.
Oh, my God, I was dead impressed. I thought, ain't she organised yeah. this one?
Well, we got we in got the in hotel.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden, you came in to me. Oh, and said, I don't know what's going on next door to me with them two.
Do you remember?
Oh, no, we couldn't. We're screaming. Alan, Alan, don't do that.
She was on. I said, I don't know what's going on with the next door.
Well, we wondered. So the next, Alan comes and knocked. I'd gone into you back then.
Yeah.
Alan came in and knocked on the door and said, we can't stop the bed going up.
No, Alan said to Ken, Ken, do you see you can help me next door? I can't get it up. And he went, you know what's up? Because we were hysterical, weren't we? We were hysterical. We were terrible. It was a bloody bed, wasn't it? They got it stuck out there.
Oh, it was hilarious. But all you could see was Marlene's big slippers.
I know, them slippers.
And then...
So what was wrong with the bed?
It was one of them that
one of
went
these
up,
beds that went up and down.
Yeah, and they tried to get it
but
down and the
it just kept going
and
up.
That's what the noise was, wasn't it? I think he must
apart from Marlene screaming because Marlene was lay on the bed and couldn't get
I said
on the bed.
Oh, don't know what they're doing. I think they're having an orgy or something, but I can't go.
And poor Marlene's hysterical because the bed was going woo woo woo. And he had to come and get Ken to stop the bed.
Hilarious. Oh. So, how did you feel when the infamous Kentucky Fried Chicken store, they had this record deal on the table after Factory had gone under and there was this big meeting and then Sean went off and didn't come back or was too late and everything fell apart? How did that make you feel?
Sad, upset. It was a very, very bad time for Paul. Because, Paul was very down and we were struggling with him. And I used to think, don't judge. Just think things can only get better, which they did.
Yeah. How long did it take before things got better?
A couple of years. I can't quite remember now.
It was a few years. Mm. I think everybody hated Sean, didn't they, at the time?
Yeah. Did you blame Sean? Were you annoyed with Sean for that? Or did you just think it's one of those things?
I didn't know what to think, Angela. Because at the end of the day, no matter what he does, he's still my son.
Oh, of course he is.
He's still my son. And then you get to thinking,
oh, yeah.
Are you blaming yourself? Is it your fault?
No, no.
Blah, blah. A lot of it.
No.
I had great guilt thinking, is it the way we've been? Blah, blah, blah.
No.
And people used to say to me, you are family. You are not to think that at all, Linda. Nothing whatsoever is your and Derek's fault. You have given them the best opportunity and done the right thing that anybody could. Do not blame yourself. A lot of the time I did blame myself, and a lot of the time I blamed Derek.
No, 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 that's wrong.
You know, for being too supportive of them.
No, he was a good manager and got them where they were, Derek. Derek was wonderful, Linda.
I know. There'd have been no band without him. Well, but at the end of the day...
He's your son and it's very difficult.
He's still my son.
Of course, it's very, very difficult. Mm. Of course it is. Yeah.
And how was Gary in all of that, Sandra? How did he feel when everything came tumbling down?
He was just devastated, like the rest of the band were devastated.
How do you think things would have been different if Sean had turned up for that meeting, and if they had been given a really big record deal, how do you think things would have turned out differently?
I don't know, because I don't say if only. I don't think. I don't even think like that. I don't think if only. I think it's happened and you get out of it.
Maybe it would have died a death really quickly. And they would have been dropped, and maybe they would have never reformed.
Nobody would have thought 30-odd years later they'd have even been heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
Three years later.
But it did affect Paul a lot, didn't it?
It did affect
it
Paul
really
a lot.
It really affected Paul, it did.
And it affected Paul more than anything, because the stories that Sean gave out and said, he was worried about me.
Mm.
Because, well, being in the job I was in, you know, and what other people think, and it's all very well saying, oh, you don't take no notice.
In 1999, Paul went out to a gig and bumped into Simon Moran, and that's when Simon Moran suggested that they reform again and do a tour. How did you feel when you found out that that was in the pipeline?
Quite shocked, actually. Surprised.
Do you remember who told you? Was it Sean? Was it
Derek?
Oh, what did Derek say to you?
Paul's been talking to Simon Moran and he wants them to reform. And I said, well, are they going to? He said, well, we'll have to wait and see.
And what did you think at that point?
Wow. How long will it last this time?
And do you remember, Sandra, what you thought when you heard?
Yeah, I thought, well, let him have a go again, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the lads wanted to get back, I mean, I'm not sure about Sean, but they wanted to get back together, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
You know, and I thought, if it makes them happy, yeah, yeah.
Well, they'd been split up, was it about 6 years at that point?
I don't think it was that long, was it?
I can't remember.
I really can't remember.
Finally now, he was getting his life back together. He bought himself a white car, a Volvo. Mm. That's when me and him got back together again. So that must have given you, that whole time must have been quite nice for you to
see. It was.
I think it gave you hope, really. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
We're leaving it there for this week, but there is so much more to come from the Rock and Roll Mums, and I'm trying to persuade them to do a live stream as well. We'll keep you posted on that one, and hopefully they'll be able to join us and you'll be able to ask them your questions directly. Thank you so much for being here. If you'd like to check out this episode on video, it will premiere next Sunday, that's March the 31st at 8 p.m. UK time on YouTube, where I will be live in the chat as usual, so please come and join us. Please give us a nice review and rating. Go to the website at paulrider.tv, where you'll find links to everything: shop, socials, Patreon, everything. We're playing out with this amazing track which Paul did with his LA collaborator Matt Cheadle. It's called Scandalize. Stay tuned, because we might have some new lyrics being put on this song soon. All right. Big, big love and thanks to Linda and Sandra, the Rock and Roll Mums, for being so absolutely amazing 100% of the time. And big love and thanks, of course, to the man himself, the late, great Paul Anthony Ryder. Lots of love. See you next week. Bye.